Welcome to this Martin Bailey Photography Podcast, episode number 40. Much of the Nikko area in the Tochigi Prefecture, a few hours drive north of Tokyo, is perched high in the mountains, and for obvious reasons is very close to the Japanese people's hearts. Nikko is the synergy of culture and nature. Next week I'll be looking into more of the cultural side, but today we're going to look at some shots of a few waterfalls, among other things. Before we start today, I have one piece of housekeeping that cannot wait until the end of the episode. From today, and coincidentally coinciding with episode 40, the 40th anniversary, I guess, I am able to bring you the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast on from a Mac, Apple Mac computer, as an enhanced podcast. This means that you can now follow along with the photographs I talk about on your iPod, and the images will change in the on the iPod screen at the same time as I start talking about different photos. Yes, this basically means that I've given in to Apple's marketing strategy of only making the chapter tool used to make the enhanced podcasts available for the Mac platform and not for Windows. I figure the longer I wait, the more I'll have to do to catch up on the enhanced podcast side. And also, now that I've bought the Mac computer, I'm not going to have to write so many mails to people each week explaining why I can't do enhanced podcasts. I personally was not that bothered about making this podcast enhanced, as I would really prefer you to look at the images full size on the web and not a tiny little iPod screen. But I do sometimes enjoy seeing the photos change on other photography related podcasts, and so I can appreciate the desire to be able to do this. Finally, before moving on to the main topic for today, I should congratulate all of the Windows-based podcasters worldwide, because now that I have given up my stand against Apple, you can bet your bottom dollar that there'll be a chapter tool available for Windows release within the next month or so. And while we're on the subject of dollars, I would say that I've invested around $1,400 this weekend. And that was actually money that was being saved up towards my next lens. So I hope you can appreciate what a sacrifice I've made to this podcast, and really trying to just make it as best as it can be. I've also spent most of the weekend arguing with my better half over spending this money. She is most definitely not a happy teddy right now. So if you are happy or relieved that you finally have this podcast in enhanced mode, and you feel like helping me pay for the Mac that I needed to realize this, you can make cash donations of any size from the podcast page at martinbaileyphotography.com. Of course, there's never been any obligation and never will be any obligation or pressure to pay anything, and this podcast will remain fundamentally free, but a few dollars support will definitely help restore peace in the Bailey household right now. So that out of the way, let's get on to today's main topic. On the 21st of May 2006, I decided to go to Nikko in the Tochigi Prefecture, which is a few hours drive north of Tokyo. Then the following Sunday, on the 28th, I went back with a friend who was visiting from India. The reason for my first visit was twofold. I was on a reconnaissance trip for the second visit that I had arranged the following weekend. But that was not really much of a reason, though, as I have been to this area a number of times since I first came to Japan in 1991, and I know the area pretty well. The second reason is that I was interested in shooting the Ryuzu no Taki, or Ryuzu Falls. The thing is, I'd found on the web during my planning for the visit that the fresh spring green leaves and the azalea flowers that bloom around these falls at the same time were not yet in bloom or sprouting for the leaves. Though they were probably going to be in bloom, and the leaves were going to be getting nice, lots of nice young foliage the following weekend when I was due to come back with my friend. And I wanted to see just how close the foliage was to sprouting and the azalea to blooming. I found the azalea buds quite full and ready to bloom, so I decided it would be worth coming back to this spot again the following week. Also, though, I would not have the time to spend getting my shot right the following week, though I knew that I would want to shoot something. So on this particular, on the first day, I wanted to also take a walk around the area and get any possible shots and plan shots for my next visit at the same time. The first image of the entire falls from the first visit is shot number 989. Now, this is not a great shot, I'm sure you'll agree. The nice blue sky helps, and I was lucky to find some pink blossom on the trees to the left of the falls to add a splash of colour. The downside is that the surrounding trees are a little drab and uninteresting, and the day was so bright that there's a lot of contrast between the water and the surroundings. I used an ND8 circular neutral density filter to give or to block out the three stops of light, and I also used a circular polarizer which blocks out another two stops of light for a total of five stops. This meant that with an ISO 50 and an aperture of f/16, the exposure for this shot was 1 second. This allowed me to capture the water of the falls with a silky flowing feel that I kind of like. In contrast to this shot, let's skip to shot number 1006 from the following Sunday to see the difference. The following Sunday, I was lucky to have very different weather conditions. Sure, a nice blue sky makes the shots look warm, but in reality, very bright days are very rarely as photogenic as one might think. This image was made again with the ND8 neutral density filter, but without a polarizer. The polarizer would perhaps have brought out the greens in the leaves a little more, but I don't think I really needed it. It was raining throughout most of this day, and this really helped to saturate, and I guess again, pun intended, all of the colors in the greens and really bring them out, making them look very, very vivid. So as you can see, the greens are all out now, the leaves on the young leaves on the trees, and we're also seeing the pink blossom to the trees on the left has now fallen, giving way to some splashes of red throughout the image as the azalea flowers start to bloom, adding a little extra touch of interest. Once again, at f/16 for this shot, I chose ISO 100 and was now exposing for 2 seconds, not one, as with the last shot. So basically, I had one extra stop of ISO, one extra stop of exposure because of the extra second, and two extra stops from not using the polarizer, making a total of 4 stops more light for this image over the last. We can see that the contrast between the water and the surrounding is now much less too, making for an all-round much more pleasing image. Looking around the web for reasons why these falls are called the Dragonhead Falls, I found various theories, so I don't know which one is for real. I'd say that all could be based on hypothesis rather than fact. One possibility is that the falls, as they split into two, look more like a dragon's head, though I don't really see it just from this point. The thing is, on another one of the possibilities is that the rocks, the undulating rocks over which the water flows, and we'll see in a few images from now, actually runs right the way up the hill for 210 meters. And if you were to view this from a vantage point above the falls, it may well look like one of the mythical Japanese or Chinese dragons, basically flying down the mountainside. Another thing is, if you look at it from this particular vantage point, the rocks or the ground in the middle of the shot could be the head, and then the white falls coming either side could be the dragon's talons. Maybe also another thing that I read was that the white on the larger side of the falls was the top part of the head, and the smaller falls was the bottom jaw. So we're looking at the head from an aerial perspective again. But again, I'm not really sure which of these is correct. I would think that the rocks, the water flowing over the rocks looking like scales on the dragon's back is probably the most viable theory. Either way, I'm really just quite pleased to have been able to come back to these falls a number of times over the years, as I find them quite beautiful. I actually have a slide of pretty much the same view from back in 1991 when I first visited, but I've never really been happy enough with the shot to post it on my website. Now let's take a look at a slightly different view from the same falls, a different view of the same falls, from the rainy day the following week, which is shot number 1005. There is a similar view, a similar image from the first week on my website too, but we'll just look at the latter image today. This time I've closed in a little so as just to focus on the right-hand falls. The last two shots, by the way, were made with my 16-35mm f2.8L lens, and this shot was made with my 24-105mm f4L lens to get in a little bit closer. I was at 47mm focal length for this shot. I was still shooting at ISO 100, but was now only exposing for 1 second, again at f16. I found the water was blowing out a little bit too much at 2 seconds, once I closed in on the scene a little bit. So here I'd had to really just halve the exposure. So here my main point is, as I've said before, it's often possible to create a beautiful yet totally different image of the same scene by singling out smaller areas using using a longer focal length. This allows us to pour over the detail of this waterfall much more easily than in the last image, which is attractive for different reasons, I would say. In this shot, we can not only see more detail in the water as it pours over the rocks, but we can also see, if we look closely, that the water is visible between the trees for quite a way up the hill in the distance. The drop of the waterfall is actually 60 meters, but as I mentioned earlier, the falls in their entirety, which can really be better described as rapids rather than falls, are 210 meters long, stretching up the mountainside. In the next shot, image number 991, again from the first week, I had climbed some stone stairs that wind their way up the hill to the right of the falls and snuck through a gap in a fence, and I made my way down to the side of the water. Standing precariously on the moss-covered rocks with two of my tripod legs in the water, I got down as low as I could to the level of the water for this shot of the rapids above the falls. This is the area that I mentioned earlier where the water's flowing over the undulating rocks, and this is what is being thought of as the scales of the dragon's back. And we can also see to the left, from the center to the left of this shot, the point where the river or the falls split into two separate falls that we saw dropping into the pool in the last shot. Again, using my 16-35mm f2.8 lens at 18mm for this shot, I was using ISO 50 and the ND8 and circular polarizer filters. I try to avoid using this and my 24-105mm wide open with more than one filter, as I get pretty bad vignetting. As I rarely remove my protector filter, especially around waterfalls where there's water spraying up, I actually had three filters on the lens while shooting these images. So at 18mm, actually I was starting to get a fair amount of vignetting. So I've actually cropped this image just a touch. The aperture was again f16 and the shutter speed was 1/8 of a second for this image. I think the low perspective has helped me to emphasize the fast flowing expanse of water, but I also like the splash of blue sky in the distance and also the red, white and yellow splashes of color in the three people's clothes that have snuck into the image at the top, probably sneaking through the fence as I have done. I don't always like to shoot with people in the frame, and indeed I shot a number here without them, but I chose this shot as I think the people add some scale and also, as I say, the splash of color. Moving on to the last shot of these falls for today, image number 992, was made from the bridge that goes over the river just as it starts to drop in what is officially the start of the falls, 210 meters up from the first shot we looked at today. This whole area is already 1,400 meters above sea level, but we can see the Chuzenji Lake in the distance, which is where the water we see flowing down the mountain here will temporarily end up. I say temporarily, as the water will at some point flow off through the Kegon Falls, which I showcased in episode 11, and we'll also take a look at next week. This image, also shot with my 16-35mm lens, was again at f16 ISO 100 for a quarter of a second. The shutter speed here is enough to give the water a flowing feel, but I couldn't go any slower as there were cars and buses crossing the bridge on which I was standing, and the vibration would ruin the shots. I had to keep waiting for a break in the traffic anyway, and I didn't want to risk any longer shutter speeds. Again, here I was still using the ND8 neutral density filter and the circular polarizer filter. The next shot I want to look at, image number 994, takes us away from the falls for a little while. This is a simple shot of the top of Mount Nantai, with some birch trees in the foreground. This is quite a serene scene, with the nice blue sky and a few fluffy clouds. The birch trees are what drew me to the shot while looking for stuff to shoot in the Senjougahara area, on the plateau up here in the Nikko Highlands. The way the birch trees are separated into the bunch on the right and then the sole tree on the left is also kind of appealing. Senjougahara actually means the battlefield plains. Legend has it that the gods of the mountains in this, one of the mountains in this shot, Mount Nantai, and another, Mount Akagi, they turned into a giant centipede and a giant snake and fought here on the plains, and Mount Nantai won. Nantai actually translates as man's body, not man as in mankind, but the opposite to woman. And Akagi means a red fort or castle. There's nothing technically great about this shot. I was shooting again with ISO 100 for 1/20th of a second at f16 with my 24-105mm f4 lens. Okay, so back to another waterfall, but we're only going to look at the waterfall as a secondary subject. There is a shot of the Yudaki, or the Yu Falls, on my site too, but it's not that great, so I'm not going to include it in the podcast. I'll put a link that will take you to all of the shots from these 2 weekends into the show notes for today, though, so you can browse them at your leisure. The one that I do want to quickly look at is image number 995. I approached the platform in front of the falls to shoot another one of these natural wonders, and I found two gentlemen already set up with their tripods photographing the falls. I stood my tripod behind them, and as I viewed the scene through my camera's finder to see if the lens was appropriate and what have you, This image kind of just appealed to me. So these two guys, you know, they're bent over the tripod shooting away without even really acknowledging my existence at first, just brought a smile to my face. They soon realized that I was behind them, and the guy to the left moved his camera out of the way to let me in for my shot. They asked me which neutral density filter I was using, as they'd only brought a one-stop ND2 filter. So I loaned them my ND8 for a while, as with the ND2, the folds were still so bright that they could not shoot them at slow enough shutter speeds to give the folds that flowing effect, even with their lenses stopped down to the smallest aperture. We spoke for a little while, and I moved on to the last part of my trip on the first day. Next week, I'll go into more detail and show you some more images from the following weekend. But for today, let's just look at one more shot from this area, which is image number 998. The sky was full of clouds that kept rolling in front of the sun, and so the light was changing often as I walked through the woods near Yudaki. The light in this particular shot literally lasted just seconds and didn't come back while I was standing there. The shots before and after that I shot of this area are actually very dull by comparison. The clear water that incidentally has fallen down from the waterfall probably a minute or two earlier is quite still now and gives us a beautiful reflection of the green foliage on the opposite bank. The new greens in the woods are also highlighted by the warm sunlight, adding a little extra colour, and there's the browns and rusty reds that make up the rest of the image. It was shot at f16 for 1/3 of a second at ISO 50 with my 24-105mm f4 lens. The thing that lets this shot down quite badly, in my mind at least, is the black mesh around the tree on the left, in the left foreground. This is probably to stop deer from eating the bark from the trees in the winter and therefore killing the trees, but I really just wished it wasn't there for this particular shot. And with that, we'll call it a day for today. Part 2 of this podcast should be released early next week. Please remember to vote for this podcast on Podcast Alley, as it's now the start of a new month and the votes have been reset. There's a form on the podcast page at martinbaileyphotography.com to make it easier for you to vote. Also remember that there are still almost 3 weeks left of the rainy day assignment, which closes on June 25th. So if you still haven't posted your entry, please take a look at the details in the assignment forum. And if you didn't listen to the original podcast on this assignment, you can go back to episode 37 for more details. I'm already seeing some great images that have been uploaded to the assignment gallery, and I can't wait to see what the rest of you make of this assignment. Remember that the prize is an original print of any of the photos in my online gallery at any size up to A3 plus or 13x19 inch, on the paper of your choice. Also, votes will be accumulated throughout the year for a grand prize, which right now, although I don't know what it will definitely be something more than one of my prints, and hopefully something you'll be happy to receive too. So I hope you've enjoyed this first ever enhanced Martin Bailey photography podcast. As usual, I've enjoyed putting it together, despite there being a bunch of things to learn, pretty steeply at learning curve today and over the last few days trying to get things going, but hopefully I'll have got this new technology cracked and we'll be able to continue doing this. So whatever you do with the rest of your week, please enjoy doing it, and if you'll be out photographing, I'm sure you'll enjoy doing it. Basically, just have a good time doing whatever you do. Thanks for listening, and we'll speak again next week. Bye bye.